After a five-year period during which the Air Force had no Senate-confirmed official at the top of its acquisition chain, the service finally has a leader in place. Dr. William LaPlante was confirmed in February as Assistant Secretary for Acquisition. In a speech at the Atlantic Council last week, he outlined his five main priorities now that he's in office. Arnold Pinaro introduced LaPlante at that event. He's here to talk with us about Air Force acquisition and the potential for defense acquisition reform more generally. He's chairman of the Pinaro Group, a member of the Defense Business Board, and the chairman of the National Defense Industrial Association, among many, many other titles. Arnold, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
Happy to do it.
And, you know, we did a whole segment earlier in the show specifically on political appointee vacancies, so I guess let me start there. How much of a problem was it to have that assistant secretary position unfilled for so long, and what changes now that Dr. LaPlante is in place?
Well, it clearly is a problem when you don't have the key experts in these top jobs. The whole acquisition process depends on what David Packard put in place in 86, and that is we need people that have experience in running complicated technical programs. Dr. LaPlante has that. So now that he's on board, he's a breath of fresh air. He brings a lot of common sense to the job. And by the way, during the period when he wasn't there, as the Air Force had to cancel a number of big procurements because they went south on him.
Right. And so you heard about his five big priorities at the Atlantic Council last week. You think he's got it about right, or is he missing?
Yeah, right in the bullseye. I mean, I think that's what impressed all the industry folks that was there. That was what has impressed us from day one. He's kind of cut right to the chase, cut through a lot of the red tape, and said, okay, these are the five things we're going to focus on. We're not going to change our mind every other week. You guys in industry need to work with us. You need to, meet your commitments, but we need to work with you. It's a two-way street. Frankly, a very, very refreshing new leader in Air Force acquisition.
And they range from the very broad, like, hey, let's make sure we get our major acquisition programs right, to the more specific, like, we need to bring back in our own technical baselines and own our technology in a way that we've kind of outsourced over the past few years. Let me ask you about that one specifically, the ownership of technical baselines, data rights, et cetera.
I was very pleased to hear him talk about that because a task force I chaired for the Defense Business Board a couple of years ago, one of the conclusions and one of the recommendations we made is the government really needed to beef up their organic technical system engineering capability. The government should not be contracting out to industry things that are inherently governmental or even closely associated with inherently governmental. So I also think this is a move in the right direction, and I think it's one that industry will support.
Let me move to the broader topic of defense acquisition reform, quote unquote. It seems to be in the air right now. Congressional panels going on. DOD has its own package of legislative proposals it's working on. You feel like the time is ripe for something to happen in this area?
I really do, and I'm a pretty big cynic on this score because I've been involved in every single major acquisition review, starting with the Packard Commission back in the mid-'80s and every other one, either in the Congress as when I served there or on boards and commissions. And there have been over 350 outside studies, and we still have significant problems. But I think the stars are in alignment. You have Vice Chairman Mac Thornberry along with the ranking member, Congressman Adam Smith, that are committed to doing this in the House. Senator Levin, the chairman, with Senator Inhofe and Senator McCain are committed in the Senate. Frank Kendall, the top acquisition guy in the Pentagon, is continuing to move out smartly with his top team, Christina McFarland, and then with his service executive, Bill LaPlante, Heidi Shu, and Sean Stackley. And industry is very enthusiastic about being allowed to provide input and working with both the Congress and the executive branch. So I would say I'm very enthusiastic. We have in NDIA brought in probably the expert's expert to lead our work, John Etherton, and we'll be providing input to both the executive branch and the legislative branch. So I'm pretty psyched right now about the potential. The proof's in the pudding, so we all got to work hard and make sure we deliver.
Having been through so many of these cycles in the past, what's different about this time around as far as you can tell? It is noteworthy, I think, that both Congress and DOD are reaching out to so many different groups for recommendations. Has that been done before in prior iterations?
No, I think that before you've had either the Congress was pushing and DOD was pushing back, or DOD was pushing and the Congress was pushing back, or, you know, one or the other, and then industry was kind of caught in the middle. And right now, there's two things. One, everybody recognizes we're not getting the bang for the buck we should for the dollars we're putting into the Defense Department. And one of the reasons is we need to improve our acquisition process, both the requirements process, the acquisition process, and the budgeting process. Number two, the budgets are coming down, and everybody understands that we're dealing with finite resources, and we've got to make sure we keep a laser focus on our warfighting forces and on the readiness of those warfighting focuses, and that we don't waste money in overhead, in acquisition, and in unsustainable compensation costs. So I think that's what the motivating factors are.
My sense is that the Pentagon, or Frank Kendall at least, is pushing back to some degree. The point he's made several times lately is that when you actually look at the data, the big acquisition reforms that we've done in the past haven't made that much of a difference in terms of cost or schedule on big major acquisition programs. His big thing seems to be we need a coherent system and it needs to be a flexible system. I wonder what you think about that.
Well, Frank has a great sign outside his door. We trust in the Lord, but all others bring data.
Right.
He is very data-driven, which is appropriate, but I don't sense he's pushing back. I think Frank has brought, along with Ash Carter, has brought the acquisition process, made a lot of improvements with better buying power, but he recognizes, as does the Congress and industry, it's not how far we've come, it's how far we still need to go. So I think Frank understands that we've got to make a lot more progress. I believe he's committed to that. But yes, he's correct. We should be driven by the data. We don't want to do, and that's another thing I like about Mac Thornberry has said very clearly, look, I'm not looking with Congressman Adam Smith to rewrite a 2,000-page legislative bill and change every single law, rule, and regulation. Let's focus on those three or four things that could really make a difference. And I think that's one reason the Pentagon has already put out a request. They put out a request to industry to comment on the 400 laws, rules, and regulations that they have that they think could maybe have some changes that might, you know, make some improvements. So we've already provided that input. I think people are focused on what I would call the art of the possible as opposed to comprehensive change everything in the system.
Right. Let's talk specifics a little bit in our last few minutes here. If it does winding up being a process that does three or four things, do you have a view on what some of those ought to be?
I certainly do, and I'm guided by the studies I've worked on in the past, and I'm guided by the things that John Etherton and I looked at NDIA. Number one, the requirements process. The acquisition process and the budget process, they all need to be linked and streamlined. There are three stovepipes right now. They kind of work in silos. They don't. There's not enough cross-fertilization and collaboration. The industry's not brought in early enough in terms of the technical feasibility or cost of certain requirements. And so in the requirements, so those things need to be linked and streamlined. We need to get the service chiefs more involved in the process. They own the budgets. They own requirements. They don't own acquisition. And they need to basically get more involved in the decision-making process. And then three, we really need to focus on requirements. I mean, requirements is what drives everything. And when you let the iron majors basically, I said facetiously with tongue in cheek, that if the Army could buy a nuclear tank, powered tank that could fly to the battlefield, they'd want that because they, one, never need to refuel it, and they wouldn't need any help getting it there. But, of course, technically impossible and cost prohibitive. So the requirements is where all the gold-plated stuff gets added in. And, you know, we need to go with the good is not the enemy of the best. So that would be, so link and streamline the three processes, get the service chiefs more involved, and then really scrub the requirements. Make sure industry has an ability to talk about how technically feasible is that requirement, how long is it really going to take, what's it really going to cost you.
And how? What would be a better way to do requirements? How do you fix that? Are you saying that the uniform side of the military should have?
Don't just turn it over to the iron majors and don't just give a blank check to the military. There's got to be some oversight, and there's got to be some give and take, and there's got to be trade-offs. The requirements people have got to link into the budget and the acquisition process to find out, wait a minute, this will take 10 times longer than if we did it this way, and it, technically it's a lot harder, and that kind of flow back and forth doesn't really occur as much as it should now because we've got three separate stovepipes that operate in silos, and they only come together, you know, when it's too late.